Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer, the Union Tribune. Jay Posner, sports editor, the Union Tribune, with me. Jay, we're a day late. The Padres won 2-1 last night. Got some thoughts on that. Got some thoughts on, you know, some of the topics we've been beating to death here, the offense and the lack of it, the bullpen, the starting pitching. Great, just really, especially for him, great performance from Nick Martinez last night. Where do you want to start?
Well, I didn't get to see last night's game.
That's a rarity.
It is a rarity, and I was very disappointed when I found out that our old friend Angel Hernandez was working the plate. I saw he managed to squeak over 90% on the ump scorecard Twitter rating today, but I don't know if he affected the game in any way. I did see the highlights, which was basically Machado. we've talked about how they have a two-man offense. Last night it was a one-man offense. I have no idea why anyone throws Manny a pitch anywhere near the plate right now, especially with Jerks and Profar hitting behind him. But I guess that's for Miami to figure out and the other teams. I would say start with Nick Martinez. I mean, that, yeah. You know, the Marlins are not the best team in the league. They came in here on a four-game losing streak, but you know, you pitch a game like that against a big league team, that's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, look, in comparison to the Reds, they're better, let's say. Right. The Padres are taking advantage of some teams. They came back. That was a long day. Those, especially like a traditional doubleheader. It's like, bang, bang, you're playing, and then you're flying across the country, and you have a game. I'll be interested to see what happens today. This is traditionally, the second day is kind of when it catches up to you. But that was... Look, they got a win. That's kind of what we've been saying about a lot of these wins. Exactly. So I think you're right, Jay. The story is Nick Martinez, not only for what it does for him, but gosh, now what do they do with the rotation? But Nick Martinez's changeup, especially early, look, he's got four pitches. And when they're around the strike zone like he was last night, he's a good enough pitcher that maybe he can give you six or seven when he's right. Like that. And I would say almost against most teams. That was really good. Now, I'm assuming that you want to play it forward and say, what does that mean, right? Well, you're in the midst of a six-man rotation, and I do believe what that means is, like, starting tonight, there are six games left on the homestand.
Right.
You go through Nick Martinez pitches the finale here, and then you have a question because Blake Snell's coming back on the next trip. Jay, before I tell you what my educated speculation is, what do you think should happen?
Boy, it's such a conundrum here because, for one thing, you know, Sean Manaea has not pitched well his last two games, pitching tonight, I believe. Or no, tomorrow night. Darvish goes
tomorrow night after Darvish,
But you're not going to say, oh, no, Sean Manaea is pitching for his spot in the rotation. If that was Mackenzie Gore or Nick Martinez that had a couple outings like that, you would say, boy, this is an easy decision. You know, you, Darvish, Sean Manaea, Joe Musgrove, Mike Clevinger, I thought, pitched pretty well the other day, especially considering it was his first game back in a long time and all the circumstances on a crummy day against his old team and all that stuff. He's going to be in your rotation, and you're paying Blake Snell a lot of money, so you've got to keep him. He's going to be in the rotation. So you've got five guys. I don't see any options other than finding a way to – and whether Gore – it sounds ridiculous to say they should send Mackenzie Gore to El Paso to pitch, but I don't know where he's going to pitch up here. So that's at least my original thought. You're much smarter than I am, so maybe you have another idea. Nick Martinez, I guess you could, to me, he kind of becomes the long man in the bullpen. I don't know. What else? Tell me what else they can do. I don't have any other answers.
Okay, so piecing together, talking with everybody, not everybody, a lot of people, and I'm not smarter than you, but because I'm so not smarter than you, I ask a lot of questions, and obviously that's my job out there. So one thing they could do with Mackenzie Gore, he's not going to throw more than 120 innings this season, okay? Mm-hmm. He threw more than we think he did, like the equivalent of maybe 100 innings. He's not going to bump up to 150 innings. When they send him down, he doesn't have to pitch. Or he can pitch just enough to stay sharp. It is very likely that Mackenzie Gore gets a couple rests this year.
Okay.
And he is the guy who is not making $6.5 million. He is the guy with options.
Sure.
And Nick Martinez actually made it easier on the Padres last night by being better than Mackenzie Gore has been. And so throw another start like that in there, which is an if, but then it's like, hey, McKenzie, you know the situation here. You're going to be back. You've got to stay sharp. We want you at the end. And so McKenzie Gore is the guy who goes down. That does not solve a problem when Blake Snell comes back, because then you still have six pitchers. Right. You have an off day on Friday after this trip. That's the off day on Thursday. I'm sorry. That's the 12th.
And then you have an off day
that Monday after Atlanta. Then you play 9 in a row. You have an off day. Then you play 13 in a row. You have an off day. Then you play 18 in 17 days. So you have 31 games in 31 days between May 26th, May 27th, and June 26th, I believe it is. You're going to need six pitchers. Heck, you might need seven because someone gets tired or and they need to be skipped or something. So this isn't like this huge long-term problem, but your short-term fix is sending McKenzie Gore down. After that, Jay, I don't know what you think about this, and this is something that I'm just throwing out. What are you really going to get out of Mike Clevinger or Blake Snell for a while? Is it possible that one of these guys goes four innings once or twice?
Without saying that he is.
Yes.
Because you don't want to put it in the minds of Clevinger and Snell that we only want you to pitch four innings or five innings because, hey, we've got Nick Martinez waiting in the background and we really want to get him some work. So it's definitely possible. And that's why I said he seems like he would be, you know, kind of a long man. You can call him the piggyback man, whatever it might be. The question on Gore, when you say you send him down, do you actually want him to pitch in El Paso? And if he doesn't pitch, is there any danger in sort of losing what he's found? He's found something clearly.
Yep.
Whatever went off the rails with him, and you know, a lot of it nobody ever saw because it was at the alternate site. And then last year, you know, building him back up in Arizona, he's definitely found something. I mean, he is a major league pitcher right now. So the one risk is, in quote, resting him, is that he loses some of that sharpness. But I agree, you can't have him pitch 150, 160 innings this year just out of nowhere. So, and as we've seen so many times in the past, these things do have a way of taking care of themselves.
Yeah.
But I do think your short-term option is the best one right now. Yeah, now, are you going to – now give me your fixes. Give me your fix for this outfield.
Oh, boy. Wow. Well, Will Myers is coming back.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. It's kind of a hope and a prayer, right? Like, it's very easy to say, well, if Will Myers comes back, and I was just joking there because it clearly is not something that you can really count on, but you know, it's really easy to go, well, Will Myers is coming back. Well, what does that mean? Is that 600 OPS Will Myers? Is that 3 weeks of 890 OPS Will Myers? I don't know, Jay, I don't. It's and as they were at the beginning of the year, they don't have like a whole lot of options unless they can unload a pitcher or two and get get an outfielder in exchange for that. And I don't know that that's happening right away.
And as we've talked about before, who are you getting at this point? I mean, they, you know, in the offseason or spring training or whatever, the two guys they got were Luke Voit, who hasn't done anything seems to have a legitimate excuse in terms of his injury, but hasn't impressed in his first couple rehab games, but it's early. And Matt Beatty, who's been a disaster in, you know, 30 at bats or whatever it is. But I mean, he's been terrible. There's no other way to put it. And I don't even think a lot of Matt Beatty's, you can't even say he's been unlucky, because I don't think there's been a lot of I haven't looked it up. I don't think he's had too much hard contact.
No.
In that span. And even, you know, look, Profar's had some big moments for this team, especially in the first couple of weeks. And, you know, he's turned into a cold glove outfielder, at least with his arm so far, with throwing people out and everything. But the bottom line is, you know, his on base is barely over 300. His batting average is 167. And he hasn't done a whole lot offensively either to make you think that he's an everyday answer. So that it's still a big issue. And I really don't know what the answer is, because you just can't go out and get players at this point in the season. It's like the next topic, which we've talked about obviously a bunch of times, is the bullpen. And I get tweets, I'm sure you get tweets, and we all think the same thing. They got to make changes. Okay. Yeah, they got to make changes. What are you changing? who are you bringing up? Who are you getting? What are your options at this point? And you just can't remake your roster completely in the middle of the season. And if you do, most of the time you're going to get somebody that other guys don't. You're either going to overpay or you're going to get people that are available for a reason. So I don't know what the answer is, but they still have those two big problems in terms of outfield production and the shaky bullpen.
And they keep talking about how, they got guys with track records, and I'm sort of looking for those guys with track records. Yeah. Like what you're saying is it's hopeful that some of these players play to their maximum ability as they have for stretches in their career.
Of course.
And that's not, I don't think, what a championship club is made of. I can explain a whole bunch of things about how this could work, but so far it's not,
Oh, sure.
And some of these guys Profar and Myers could, are.
All those guys could, Profar and Myers and Voit and even Beatty could all play like we've seen them play in the past, and that would solve everything.
Hey, two of the four could, and that would make it a lot better. I mean, yeah, that's the absolutely. Crazy thing. Is
yeah, you're right.
No one is. And every time it looks like Trent Grisham's going to get fixed, and there have, I say every, been a few times where you go, oh, okay. And then suddenly, I got to tell you a story. I was going to, use the restroom during the middle of a game, and in the press box, they played the announcer, the home team's radio.
Radio, yeah.
And I missed a three pitch at bat from Trent Grisham, or at least the final two. And incredulously, the Cleveland Guardians play-by-play man could not believe that Trent Grisham took three strikes. He's all, Grisham didn't even lift his bat from his shoulder. And I was like, well, I didn't miss anything then. Because
yeah, I've seen that.
Hey, buddy, that's kind of where it's at. And I say that as a huge Trent Grisham guy. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's ugly out there. There's just no one that's really performing anywhere close to what they have in the past or what you would expect or what obviously the Padres would expect.
I don't know what you saw last night from one of our favorite emailers, got an email as soon as Beatty went to bat as a pinch hitter. I believe, Abrams was also on the bench, so he had two left-handed bats off the bench last night, Melvin did. Or I'm sorry, Ryan Christensen did. And by the way, Bob right. Melville was in the clubhouse last night and whatever. He looked like he looked fine. He looked like I feel. So I don't know what that means, but he's supposed to be back managing the day. But and the email was, why is he sending Beatty up there? CJ Abrams? Right hand to bat as a car who was going in then to be the right fielder in place of Beatty. Just like, oh, Austin Nola's leading off. Who do you want to lead off? Manny Machado?
Yeah. I mean, they have two guys that are hitting. You throw in Cronenworth, maybe.
He's still a guy you go up and you have confidence that there's going to be a good at bat and he could give you something. But you can't scrape any deeper than that.
No, and even his numbers are down and Nola's numbers are down. I mean, we've sort of joked, but it's not really joking. They have a two-man offense right now. The other guys are sort of, if they can find somebody to get on base for Machado and Hosmer to drive them in, it's like a bonus. Last night, they obviously didn't need that. Most of the time they do. Those guys are hitting like MVP players, and the other guys are all, and I say this only in the sense of this is the name of the team, they're hitting like Chihuahuas.
Wow, very good. Here's my question. If there's one question I have, and I'm not saying that this solves anything, but this is baseball and this is what we do. When does he move Hosmer up behind Machado? But what good does that really do? I don't know what
I don't.
He's working well in the five spot.
He is, but is it the five? I don't know. I'm not a big guy in terms of where you hit in the batting order should make any difference, because when you're standing at the plate, it doesn't matter where you are. And so if you're hitting well in the five, like one of the guys in the office the other day mentioned to me, man, Profar hasn't done anything since he went to the cleanup spot. Is it because of the cleanup spot? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it gets in somebody's head.
There's some thinking there.
But I was, you know, and I made a point the other day that, that, you know, Profar was bunting in extra innings the other day in the 10th inning. I don't think you should ever bunt when you're the road team in extra innings. And some guy wrote and said, you know, wrote back, said, oh, where would the Padres be if you were the manager? And I had so many responses that I didn't say, but I have said on Twitter and on here and anywhere else, Bob Melvin and his staff have all forgotten more about baseball than any of us are ever going to know. But that doesn't mean that they're infallible or that, you know, maybe once in a while we have an opinion that we think is better than theirs. And math shows is better than theirs. I don't see why you would ever play for one run when you're the road team, when the other team is going to come on and start with a runner on second and nobody out. So anyway, Profar was bunting. And I said, if your cleanup hitter is bunting in this situation, maybe he shouldn't be hitting cleanup. The only other option though is Hosmer. But I do think he's the option because at least at that point, he's hitting behind Machado. Maybe he protects Machado. Machado hasn't needed the protection right now, but at some point, it seems like he would.
It protects him, and then you've got, I don't know, is it once a game that Machado's on second and Hosmer's up and you feel better that he's going to drive him in versus if there's two outs? Because I've seen it happen a couple times where Profar right. is the last out of the inning and something had happened. Maybe Cronenworth had gotten on. You know, and Manny doesn't get a hit every time, but I'm just saying like the order dies for a second while Profar is up over the last half a dozen games.
Yep.
Now he's a streaky guy that, too. But I still say that, you know, at seven pitches in at bat, you know, I'm not going to be surprised when there's a 2-for-5 from Profar, but mm-hmm. there just hasn't been. And I can't even imagine, but I do think, if we could segue as we start our initial descent toward the end of the Hot Lava podcast today.
You've been traveling way too much.
That's how I think. The bullpen has become yes. extremely worrisome and frustrating. And I say that as someone who has the perspective of watching year after year. And one of the things that you know, if you watch baseball closely, is that bullpens ride a roller coaster. And mm-hmm. that you, if you feel good about your bullpen now, just wait till next week. And if you know, right. feel bad, wait till next week. But this bullpen has been had it about as cush as you could have. And you can count on Taylor Rogers. I'm going to say you can count on Luis Garcia. Mm-hmm. And I'm still going to say that Steven Wilson's going to come in and give you a quality seventh inning. He's, you know. Well,
yeah, you have to waver a little bit now.
Yes.
But I know what you mean.
I was just trying to get to the point where I no longer then can say with any confidence, Pierce Johnson's out or you'd feel really good about that. Yeah. I don't know what to say. Robert Suarez, when there's a four-run lead, has been excellent. I don't know. And there is a thought that he needs to just kind of get over that he has the stuff to be the same guy with one-run lead as a four-run lead. But, you know, this is his first time in the major leagues, and it hasn't gone well his first few high-leverage situations, and that right. gets you. There's a thought that's gotten to Denelson Lamet, too, that it's not the stuff, that it's, hey, this being a reliever is hard. Well, whatever it is, they went out and got Yosmero Petit, and they want him to come up and pitch in the major leagues in a week or two. That's right. how bad it is. And, hey, that's one of the best relievers in the major leagues over the last 4 or 5 years. But he's 37 and he was on the street.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, and guys that we've seen get outs in all sorts of leverage situations, like Tim Hill and Craig Stammen, have not been as good this year as yeah. we've seen them in the past. And It is erratic, but I also think that's a place where maybe you don't have to, I don't know. We go back and forth on what's the bigger thing, the bullpen or the outfield. I still feel like the bullpen can sort of scrape by most of the time. I think the starters, you know, they have this great rotation. The starters need to get deeper into games and they need to get through the sixth and seventh inning. Last night was a great example, you know. You're not going to get seven out of your starter every night, but look how easy it is when you
do. Okay, what happens tonight? Because now Taylor Rogers has pitched 2 days in a row, and Luis Garcia has pitched 2 days in a row. So if it's 3-2, yeah, and Sean Manaea has gone seven innings.
Well, it's Darvish tonight, but
I'm sorry, it's Darvish. Yeah. And I'm seven still innings really is, from you saying that he's been bad.
I know I messed you up, but Darvish is the kind of guy you could certainly expect seven.
Yes. But then what?
You're right. I don't know what you do at that point. That's why you need more. I guess Steven Wilson gets a shot in one of those innings tonight. But yes, beyond that, I'm not sure. You hope that maybe your offense scores more than two runs and you have a three-run lead. I don't know. Of course, they had a three-run lead in Cleveland the other day, and look what happened there.
Well, that was where you go. And I will tell you that the frustration, and this is absolutely, want to be clear, me reading in between it, the lines, but I'm, I do that a fair amount, and I'm right most of the time. Bob Melvin was flabbergasted that, right, that, you know, and look, he's been around a long time and I'm sure he got over it really quick. But in that moment, he was like, we had this thing. Yep. You have to spend everything you have to win that first game. Okay. You do. You send out Wilson, Garcia, Rogers, you get that first game. There's a reason you don't sweep doubleheaders. You generally, you know, stuff goes like this. But he's like, we had it. And then they tied it in the eighth, and we scored. No, they got within one in the eighth, and we scored two more runs. We were up three, man.
Yep.
And no, like, so on that one, you go, he says we did score enough.
Absolutely. And that's why I said they had the three-run lead the other day, and it all fell apart. So, and they did that, and it happened in Pittsburgh too. I mean, the game got tied, and they scored two more runs in Pittsburgh, I think.
That'll start to wear on you too.
Absolutely. And so that I don't know what the answer is other than the same answer that I have given ever since we've done this, and you've known me a lot longer than that. Players, for the most part, the answer is players have to play better. I don't know that you can, like, just hit the panic button, you know, on May the 6th, and happy birthday, Willie Mays, by the way. But I just don't think you can remake everything right away. And you have to hope that, I don't know, what's the Pierce Johnson timetable?
They're calling it caution, but he's not throwing for a couple more weeks. So, yeah,
well, that's not good. And Pomerantz isn't back for a while. And I saw that Baez pitched the other day, but Baez has never been a guy that you would expect to be like a, you know, late inning, high leverage type of pitcher. So I don't know at this point, other than I think you can ride this out a little bit longer with the guys they have. And at some point, maybe you do have to make a sort of panic move. You sure don't want to have to be thinking like that.
This is supposed to be where their plenty is.
We're only a month into this. It's a 6-month season. We've only played a month. Yeah. So I don't think you can be panicking yet. They've had three terrible losses among their nine, but they've also had a bunch of wins. So they can't feel too bad about the way things are going.
Okay, so Padres, Marlins, game one is down. Padres won 2-1. Tonight, Sandy out. There's, you know, the Marlins have some decent pitchers.
The guy tomorrow night's been amazing.
Against Darvish, Pablo Lopez against Sean Manaea, and then Trevor Rogers, who has not started off well, against Joe Musgrove on Sunday. So
Lopez, as Jeff Sanders pointed out in his preview, Lopez had the best ERA in baseball until his last start when Arizona got to him. But I think he's still around 1.6 or something like that. And Alcantara has always been impressed with him. So, yeah, a couple more good guys that they're facing. And Trevor Rogers has been good in the past, obviously not starting this year. And then I haven't even looked at what the Cubs matchups might be, but that's why we come back here on Monday to talk about that.
That's right. Who knows? Everything could change by then. We could be praising the outfielders for their big week, their big weekend.
Absolutely.
We could be doing that. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us.
Have a good weekend.